You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Everybody, this is Good Morning Football. That's Jason McCourty. That's Peter Schrager. I'm Jamie Erdahl. Hang tight, Kyle. Get your takes ready to fire. Ian Rappaport, good morning to you again. Where do you want to take us first?
The Dolphins don't have a ton of money to spend in free agency, but they are expected to spend this offseason. General Manager Chris Greer has been, let's say, pretty open about the desire for a long-term contract extension for Tua Tagovailoa. I know there is hope for Tua that this gets done around the spring, so we can just focus on spring drills, OTAs, and all of that. Sometimes these things don't always happen like you want, but certainly this is something that is very much on the Dolphins' radar.
As it should be. Ian, thank you so much. Talk to you a little bit. Tua Tagovailoa, extension talk. What does this mean for the Dolphins right now and beyond? But also maybe a look back at what Tua has or has not accomplished in Miami.
I like that. A look back, and you think about the journey that Tua has been on since he joined the Miami Dolphins. And Brian Flores was his head coach, and there was a roller coaster ride coming in, and he had Ryan Fitzpatrick there in the beginning. And there were doubts, and there were times that Tua even said it where he started to doubt whether he was going to be a quality quarterback in this league. Enter Mike McDaniel, and Tua's just continued to skyrocket in an upward trend of, we saw him have two of his best seasons. Yes, he got injured a year ago. This year, played every single game and continued that streak of being able to get the ball out to whether it was Jalen Waddle or Tyreek Hill, a Pro Bowl type of season. And he's continued to perform, and he's earned the contract that is coming to him. Now, you say, what does that mean for the Miami Dolphins? We watched over the last few years, Chris Greer, their general manager, trade away picks going to get a guy like Tyreek Hill and surrounding Tua with the talent that he has. Once you pay Tua Tagovailoa a new contract and you put him amongst those top quarterbacks in the NFL, that takes away from the rest of your team. They've already lost a ton of guys, whether they've had to release guys or left in free agency on the defensive side of the ball this offseason already. So as you look at how you're making up a team, and you look at Christian Wilkins signed one of the biggest deals for the defensive tackle. They had to release Agba, Xavier Howard, Jerome Baker, and then Brandon Jones and Van Ginkle have left. And that's not even talking about the two guys at the bottom of that screen who are not going to be there at the beginning of the season due to injury. They've been able to have some quality pickups like Shaquille Barrett, Jordan Poyer, who Rapshi just talked to you about. But for this team, now it's a different era for Tua, because now you're going to be walking in and you have to go out there and win games. In the playoffs, you go on the road and you're playing in Kansas City. You're going to need more than 7 points. They're not going to be surrounded with as much talent, because now you're going to need those draft picks to hit. A guy like Cam Smith, they drafted in the second round, cornerback out of South Carolina. You cut a guy like Xavier Howard, you re-sign Nick Needham, but now you need those guys to show up and perform like a Devon Achan did, or Jalen Waddle, or Jalen Phillips, or Javon Holland. You're going to need those guys, the draft picks that you do have, to go out there and perform right away, because some of that money is going to be going to your quarterback.
Yeah, we always talk about, did the Bills miss this window? Mm-hmm. The Bills missed this window because now their players are kind of in the sunsets of their careers, and they've had all these opportunities, but I look at the Dolphins. They had Tua on that rookie deal, and they had Tyreek, and they had Waddle, and they had Wilkins, and all these guys hadn't hit it big yet. What happens with a team is when you have individual success like these guys all have, you have the opportunities to leave, and sometimes the loyalty to the squad is not going to outweigh the loyalty to your family and to the dollars. And in this case, Christian Wilkins, no one can shake a hand. They didn't want to pay him. They didn't pay him that big bucks. He had the opportunity last year to get that big extension. So now you're seeing these players leave, and I think Monday was like a bloodbath for the Dolphins. Tuesday, they bounced back a little bit, and they brought in some talent. Once you pay Tua, though, you certainly get limited on what you can do around Tua, and you need to hope and pray that you draft the talent. These quarterbacks, like, with the exception of Mahomes, very few times do you see a team add more talent and get much better once they do give them that big payday. Even Joe Burrow, we're seeing it now. T. Higgins might be a casualty. Tyler Boyd, we don't know. Like, this is what happens once you pay them. And if you're going to pay Jalen Hurts $50 million, you can't bring back everybody. Yeah, you can get Saquon, but you better believe there's going to be questions down the line as to who's getting paid next. So to me, a long story short, like, this team is great in September, October, and November. They had a Week 18 game against the Buffalo Bills at home on Sunday night to clinch the number two seed in the playoffs, and they lost. And then they got, you know, it wasn't even worth talking about the playoff game where they lost 30-7 in the cold. Do you pay Tua based on those two performances? No, but you pay him on the fact that he's getting you to that point. And now you just have to hope his game elevates even more.
Yep.
And then you can draft better around him because you're not signing any free agents for $25 million anymore.
Let's look at what some of those names that you just listed that they're making right now, because that specific draft class, the 2020, I was intrigued by, because this is like when the clock is starting to tick on, like, you have to pay the names and what they've given you. Now, look at where Tua sits compared to, and essentially what he is going to be arguing for in comparison to what Burrow and Herbert got paid and with what Jalen has been able to accomplish. Now, the Jordan Love thing is curious because he reconfigured and he signed a fifth year. It was a, what was it, Peter? It was like a one-year deal, and it was worth that.
Yeah.
But it bought them time, and it made him maybe like feel valued.
It was one of those, we're going to let you bet on yourself.
Dude. Yeah.
We're going to have to see. And now he's going to crush them.
No doubt about it.
My question, right, exactly. My question with Tua, and this kind of pertains to what the Giants have done over the last 48 hours, is they let Xavier McKinney go. Mm-hmm. They let some pretty prominent guys walk away, Saquon Barkley. Those aren't Joe Shane guys. So is Tua Tagovailoa a Mike McDaniel guy? Is he an offense that is he a quarterback that works within a Mike McDaniel offense?
I think Mike's been not only a guardian angel for Tua, I think he's been his muse. The two of these guys, they have a great connection, and it's like, Mike went into that job when he interviewed. It was him and Kellen Moore were the finalists for that job. And I know Mike's whole pitch was like, I want to work with Tua. I don't want Watson. I don't want these other guys. Like, I want Tua. And I could see what he can do. And I think Tua's had two great years. So, yeah, I think he is a Tua guy. And I think the alternative, like we know, like we've mentioned, like, all right, you're going to draft someone? Well, what pick do the Dolphins have?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
You got.
And that was a report. D.D. Kikambala said that when Mike McDaniel got there, he showed Tua 700 plays of himself and was just like, this is why I want to work with you. You are a very good player, and it's coming to fruition.
Kyle, your thoughts on what Tua has created for himself in Miami in terms of getting paid in the future?
Well, I think you guys are all over it. I think Tua is the future. I know McDaniel's the future. Like, he is the guy who has really changed everything, and not just the X's and O's. I mean, I feel like he's just changed that whole team, that whole city in so many ways. So talk is cheap. He came in and he liked Tua. Of course he liked Tua. Tua was on the team. He was under contract. He was young and he was cheap. Does he still like Tua? And does he love Tua? Because this is the time. Mike, you're not going anywhere. We hope you're our coach for the next 20 years. If you want Tua for the next 5, 6, 7, then step up and say, let's pay Tua. I think he controls the entire thing, and I imagine he probably will, because, listen, I think we also have to give Tua a bunch of credit here. All we did till we were blue in the face last year in the offseason is say, can he stay healthy? Can he stay healthy? He's great. Can he stay healthy? Played every single game. He did an incredible job of being out there, protecting himself, playing smarter, playing better. He played well. The Dolphins were back in the playoffs. I just think if you're a Dolphins fan, or certainly if you're a Dolphins check writer, it's tough to look at Tua because he has the problem of contrast between the optics. It's like, he's not as impressive physically as Josh Allen. No one really is. He's not an alien like Mahomes. No one really is. He hasn't won like Burrow. It's just, he hasn't yet. So even though he's been impressive and he's likable and he's a leader and he puts up good stats, it's just like those other killers in the AFC are so great. And you have to say, if you're the Dolphins, all right, like, can we see Tua getting to a Super Bowl? Are we going to get through that gauntlet? And if not, do we really want to pay him 100-some, who knows how many millions of dollars, and do we have a choice? I don't know, like, Peter, you were kind of dancing around this. We're in this age now of, well, we love those rookie contracts, and if we don't think we can win a Super Bowl, let's do something completely nuclear and change course and start over. Do you think the Dolphins have the makeup in the front office and ownership to make that big of a decision and say, we love you, Tua, but we don't want to marry you, and we don't think we can win a Super Bowl with you, so we're going to control-alt-delete this entire thing and move on? I just don't know if they have that in them.
I could be wrong, and I think you're referring to, look, Kenny Pickett was given a year, and Mac Jones was given 3 years, and it's like, it's just not happening. Let's move on. Like, what are we doing? Why are we delaying the inevitable? Mm-hmm. Let's bring in some competition, or let's get rid of you all together. I feel like that window kind of closed for Tua. That was last year or the year before. Now you're at this point where, gosh, he's taking him to the playoffs 2 years in a row. Kyle, I understand what you're saying. Are we winning a Super Bowl with Tua Tagovailoa? I don't know, but... Mm-hmm. The alternative is a lot scarier, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think, too, the gauntlet not only is challenging in the AFC, but it may have gotten an even wider playing field with Herbert now having Harbaugh as his head coach and whatever Harbaugh can do on that side of things out on the West Coast.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar!
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, football!
Our next guest is one of the top wide receivers in this year's draft class. He's hoping to hear his name called in Detroit at the 2024 NFL Draft. Please welcome, out of the University of Florida, Ricky Pearsall. What's up, Ricky?
How you doing? Oh, no. Thank you for having me.
We're thrilled to have you. We love having you, especially since, dude, you turned heads. You turned heads at Indy a couple weeks ago at the Combine. The czar of the Combine, Daniel Jeremiah, our colleague, you were his biggest riser, number one on his top 50 after the Combine. So in other words, you crushed it. How do you feel about everything, how everything went in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I feel like the Combine was a great opportunity for myself. I just wanted to go out there and show my explosiveness. I feel like I did just that, even though I feel like I could run a little bit faster on my 40 time. I feel like I was able to get a lot out of it, so.
I love that, and you ran a 4.41, though. That's plenty fast enough. You jumped well. You did everything great at the Combine, and when you turn your film on, an elite route runner at that, as you look at your game and you evaluate yourself, what would you say is the strongest part of your game as a wide receiver?
Yeah, I feel like my versatility is one of my strong suits, being able to play outside, being able to play inside. I think another thing is my detailedness, you know, throughout the week working. I feel like I'm a detailed worker, and that kind of just comes with all the route running stuff, too. I'm just detailed in my route running game and how I study film, so I think that all plays a part.
Ricky, what's up, man? Big fan of yours, and before the Combine, I was talking about you, and I got to give credit to our producer, Sean Kopalakis, who works at the NFL Network and was like all season long, like, are you watching Ricky Pearsall? Are you seeing what Ricky Pearsall's doing? And then you actually had that incredible Combine week. But I got to go back to one of my favorite catches of the entire season. It's you guys against Charlotte last year. You know where I'm going. The one-handed grab. Can you take us through this play? And this is your Odell Beckham moment. What exactly was going through your mind? And then after you brought it down, how shocked or maybe how not surprised you were that you held on for this one?
No, for sure. It wasn't a thing that I was thinking about before the play. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go up with one hand and catch it. But we had a seam read and they had a middle closed look, one high, they were running cover three. And I knew I had to keep my seam vertical. So I did that. Graham put the ball up in the air and I knew I just had to go up there and make a play. I will say though, when the ball was in the air, I was thinking, yeah, I'm gonna go up here with one hand and go get it. So I did just that.
Yeah.
Okay, but then there's catching it with one hand, but then it really seems like you made a business decision to not bring the other hand to be involved whatsoever, and you're just like, I'm a pro, and I'm just going to maintain this ball with one hand. Did you do that on purpose, or was that just part of being tackled and whatnot? Because that is skill in and of itself.
Yeah, I don't know what got into me. I just knew the ball was in the air, and I had to go get it. And when the ball was lofted, I was like, go up and make a legendary play. So I did just that. And then obviously I took a hit too. So I was just thinking, get up. Yeah. And my dad was fourth row on the 50. So when I got up, I was staring right at him and he was going crazy. So it hyped me up a little bit.
Hell, that's yeah. Awesome.
They hit each other.
That's awesome. Right. Dad's been watching you for a long time. He watched you go to Florida after you spent three seasons at Arizona State. You were catching balls at the time from Jaden Daniels. Now, because of college football, you guys go your different directions. Jaden Daniels projected to go somewhere in the top three in this year's draft in late April. What was it like playing with him, and why is he a great guy to have on any team?
Yeah, it was an honor to play with him, really. Like everybody knows, he's a talented kid, talented player. I knew that since he was a freshman coming at ASU. And just to see what he's accomplished, you know, I'm super proud of him. I just was super impressed with his poise ever since he got into college football. And I think I just want to highlight just how good of a friend he is to me and how good of a teammate he is to me. We still communicate to this day. So, you know, whoever gets him is going to be really lucky.
That's really cool of you to say. I love that. And I think you're right. You also mentioned your dad. We're talking about Ricky Sr., and as the story goes, he taught you how to catch when you were 2 years old. Tell us about what you remember of growing up and learning football as a little kid.
Yeah, he's really the reason why I love this sport. He introduced it to me at a young age, and there's like a little story that came out where he was feeding me Skittles each time I caught the ball. So that just shows, you know, how much work he put into me, and, you know, I can't thank him enough. Everything I know really in the game of football is because of him, and I owe it all to him. So being able to give back to him and give back to myself throughout this process is really important to me.
I love that. I'm picturing two-year-old Ricky catching a pass and then grabbing a red Skittle, throwing it in.
Let's go.
And that led you all the way to here, where we're 6 weeks away from the NFL draft. And the beauty of this show is it's on in every building. All 32 teams are watching us right now. I want you to tell whichever team is tuned in, listening, sitting down in the cafeteria or something right now, why they should draft Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, for sure. I just want to start with my competitiveness. I feel like I compete on a daily and, you know, I'm a winner. I want to win at the end of the day. So I feel like I'll help a team win, come right away and, you know, be to come into the building and compete. And I feel like I've already been operating like a pro even since day one. So I'm a pro before I even became a pro. And I feel like that's why a team should come get me. I, you know, even off the field, I operate like a pro and the work that I put in is just like a pro. So I feel like that's the reason why you should come get me.
It's a great reason. I'm going to add another reason here, a little television reason. Guys, Ricky right now is holding his phone, and he has for the whole interview.
Yes.
That thing hasn't bounced once. This is the steadiest damn hands I have ever seen. Ricky, if you play like you hold that phone, you're Jerry Rice. It's over. Get him the first overall pick. Ricky Pearsall. We love him.
Appreciate you, man.
Go get him. Yeah.
Working.
I like Ricky Pearsall.
Stay healthy. Hey,
good luck, man.
Good luck. We appreciate you.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.